I don't think I fit in the binarity that society tries to put people in, you know? So I don't think I'm either male or female. I think I'm something in between or something more.
Gender transition can be a difficult road to navigate. But imagine starting the process in a country where you don't speak the language very well or don't understand the health system. And even when you do, you still have to translate your feelings to your family and friends. I am Felipe Canali, the host of Transitioning in Translation, where Portuguese speakers share their experiences regarding gender transitioning in Australia. I've been writing about sexuality for the last 10 years, and my work has been published in 14 different languages. And by seeing this content being translated, I noticed that stories about the transgender community are still perceived as taboo, and the lack of knowledge and representation leads to more prejudice and marginalizes this community. In today's episode of Transitioning in Translation, I talk with Wendley, a 33-year-old Brazilian who started her transition 4 years ago. Hello, Wendley. Thank you for talking to us. Please tell me a little about your gender identity. When did you realize you did not identify with the gender you were assigned at birth?
Hi, Felipe. First of all, thank you so much for having me here as well. Second, answering your question, since I was a kid, I felt that there was something different with me, that I didn't fit the gender that I was assigned at birth. And that at some point in my life, I would be transitioning to something else as well, something different. I currently identify myself as a trans non-binary. Trans because I am transitioning from male to female, because the female version of myself is the one that I wanted to look like. Although I don't think I fit in the binarity that society tries to put people in, you know? So I don't think I'm either male or female. I think I'm something in between or something more, you know?
I believe there's a lot of gender-diverse migrants listening to you right now. Could you please talk us through your transitioning process here in Australia?
So, I started transitioning 3 years ago. It has been a whole process since then. Before that, I started talking to my psychologist about 4 years ago about starting my transition or how I would achieve what I wanted to achieve mentally and physically as well. Then after a few years of letting my hair grow, of wearing makeup, wearing more female clothing, I started seeing an endocrinologist, which helped me to achieve the hormones level that I wanted, just to change my body a little bit for a more female look. With that, I can transition to a more female look, but also taking care of my health, which I think is really important as well.
You told me that your whole family lives in Brazil. Are they aware of your transition?
Well, you know, Felipe, my family does not know about my transition fully yet. They have been seeing me in videos, video chat, like how I look right now. But we haven't had a conversation yet. I asked my sister to show them some videos about transgender people, non-binary people, just to get started it. But I think this interview with SBS may be a first step for us to having this conversation in the future as well, and explaining to them and introducing them to this new person as well.
Before we start this conversation, you also told me that currently you are in a relationship with an Australian guy and that he has been really supportive to you. How are you feeling about it?
So, yes, I've been in a relationship for about 2 years and a half. My partner met me when I was starting my transition, and since the beginning he was super supportive on everything, and he was always there for me for whatever I wanted to achieve in my life, especially in my transition as well. I feel very lucky to have someone that is very supportive like that. And I also think that it's really important to have someone in my life that support me, like my boyfriend, because it shows to other people, it shows to transgender people that there is love for you out there and that you will find love eventually in your life as well. That we are not just a fetish or a fantasy, you know?
Wendy, straight and cisgendered people, they don't have to come out to the society as their behavior is perceived as normal. So what are some of the impacts to the LGBTQ+ community in regards to this matter?
Well, as you said, Felipe, straight cis people doesn't have to come out as it is the norm for them, right? But that's not the reality for sexual and gender diverse people. The pressure of needing to come out causes a lot of mental health issues in LGBTQ+ people. I felt more pressure to come out as gay back then because I was very femme already, so people were always trying to make me come out. But I didn't feel the same pressure to come out as a transgender. I think the reason is that coming out as a transgender is more of an internal struggle. To accept that you're not happy the way people perceive you and that you want to change that, you know? It's more of a battle with yourself than with society. Of course, the battle for acceptance starts after you start transitioning, right? But that's another topic. And it's funny because I needed to come out to everyone when I was 16 as a gay man, and now 16 years later I'm coming out as a transgender person.
You have mentioned to me that you are working in marketing and that you are feeling really happy about it. Tell me more.
Look, I feel very lucky in my professional life because my company really embraced me. They were always asking me what I was comfortable with. They changed my email, they changed my name in my signature, they put down a meeting to explain to everyone how I was changing and how they should approach me. And also making sure that I was comfortable with the information that they were sharing with the other employees at the same time. So I think it's very important, especially for trans people, because a lot of trans people, they don't have a lot of options. And they always think they are going to end up working as a sex worker. And I just want to show to trans people that there is other options to them. Of course, I want to point it out that there isn't anything wrong with being a sex worker, you know. I think that you do whatever you feel comfortable with in your life as well, and it's a choice. But I just want to show that there is other options for trans people, that you can achieve other things in life as well.
I spoke to Mama Alto, CEO of Transgender Victoria, one of the most relevant organizations for transgender people, their partners, families, and non-binary individuals. And according to her,
when someone inhabits multiple marginalities, such as being a migrant or being culturally diverse, in addition to being trans and gender diverse, they can experience the stigmas, discriminations, and barriers of both of those factors or identities at once in a compounded way.
Wendy, do you think is it harder for a foreign to go through a gender transitioning process here in Australia? And if so, why?
Look, Felipe, I think there is some pros and cons, you know, about transitioning in a foreign country. I think not having my family close to me made things a bit easier from a perspective that I was not bombarded with questions all the time, you know? While local people could face a bit more of a struggle with family and friends, on the other hand, in a different scenario, I could have had support from my family as well, which I didn't have being so far from them. But in general, I think I felt safer here in Australia than I would feel in Brazil, to be honest. As we know, Brazil is a very hypocrite country, as it is the country that consumes most of trans porn in the world, but it's also the country that most kills transgender people every year. So in this case, I don't know how safe it would feel to express my gender identity there, but I'm definitely very happy that Australia embraced me as I am, and I can be so much of who I am now, thanks to Australia.
In your opinion, how important it is to normalize gender diversity and trans identity conversations? And how can we make such content more easily available to the society?
Look, I think it's really important for us to talk about transgender and gender diverse people as well, especially on TV shows, music, and everywhere, just so we can remove this stigma in society that trans people or gender diverse people, they're not humans, that they are a thing, you know? That you talk about them as something else. And I think that we can show that we are humans as well, that we deserve love, that we deserve to have a family, that we deserve to have jobs, and that we deserve to be accepted by society as well. We are here to stay, and we're not going anywhere, you know?
Wendley, thank you so much for being here, sharing your experience with us. And to finish our conversation, what advice would you give to someone starting their gender transition process here in Australia? Doesn't matter if they are a local or a migrant.
Well, the advice I would give is, like, if you're thinking about starting your transition, I would say to you to go through your own path. There is no right or wrong. You can start hormones if you want or not. You can have surgeries if you want or not. I also want to say that there is nothing wrong with you. What is wrong is the society, is the prejudice against us, is the hate against us as well. And there you are going to find love in your life. You're going to be yourself, and you're going to be fully happy when you achieve what you want in your life as well.
You can join me for more episodes of Transitioning in Translation, a new podcast from SBS in Portuguese and English on the SBS Portuguese website or in your favorite podcast app.